morning's reading is taken from Colossians chapter 2, beginning at the 16th verse. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. He has lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These are all destined to perish with use, because they are based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sexual indulgence.
Well, do turn back with me to our passage from Colossians chapter 2. Let's just pray. Father, we do thank you for your word, and we pray now that we will understand it, that we will believe it, that we will take it to our hearts and be transformed by it more into the likeness of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, I'll ask you the same question I asked the children. Have you ever overeaten? I realize that nobody in Christchurch would ever commit the sin of gluttony, but I have to confess this is one of my besetting sins. I have a habit of not stopping eating when I'm full, but only stopping eating when I'm absolutely stuffed. Stuffed is the new full. I learned this habit as a child. All my relatives used to stuff me. I used to go to Sunday tea at my grandparents, and on occasions I would make myself sick. There was just so much food, and it was such a temptation to have one more cake. On another occasion, I went out for a carvery, you know, where you can help yourself, when I was about 8 years of age, and I ate 17 roast potatoes. I realize now I was making a mistake. See, I tell myself I'm not full when I am full. And this is a picture of the Colossian Christians. Look at chapter 2, verse 10. And you have been given fullness in Christ. They're not full of food. Rather, they are full up spiritually. They are completely nourished. They do not need any other spiritual food. But what are they doing? They're looking for spiritual food. They're not satisfied with Jesus. And brothers and sisters, that could be a description of the contemporary Christian scene. I studied at a well-known theological college, and we were taught spirituality as a subject. That is to say, as a thing we do. We do spirituality. Now that is an error. I have a relationship with my wife. I don't have to do external things to manufacture an experience of my wife. I have a relationship with her. As far as marriage is concerned, I am completely satisfied. Religious people always want to do external things to manufacture an experience of God. So they light candles. They wear religious clothes. These can be the robes of a priest or the Sunday best of the evangelical. They go to religious buildings. They play religious music. They make sacrifices. And so we could go on. People do external things to feel spiritual, to feel close to God. Now, spirituality is not something we do. Spirituality is about what we are. If we are in relationship with Jesus, we are spiritual. There ought not to be spiritual time and non-spiritual time. I don't have married time and non-married time. I don't take my wedding ring off and have a few days of being single. That's called adultery. And if we have spiritual time and non-spiritual time, that's called spiritual adultery. I don't have times when I do spirituality. I'm just called to be a spiritual person who is in a relationship with Jesus. So that's the problem in Colossae. The Christians have fullness in Jesus, but they think they are still half empty. And so they're looking to outward spirituality to make them feel full. What they need to do is repent of false spirituality and go deeper into their relationship with Jesus. If I feel far from Becca, the answer is not to buy pornography. The answer is to spend time with Becca. If you feel far from Jesus, don't look for a religious solution. Just spend time with Jesus. Well, I got four headings on your sheet. Judaism won't make you full. Super spirituality won't make you full. Demonic rules won't make you full. Jesus makes you full. Firstly, then, Judaism won't make you full. Verses 16 and 17. Ben Shapiro wrote on the 19th of September 2007, apparently Judaism has found a new representative, Madonna. "I am an ambassador for Judaism," Madonna proclaimed this week, while visiting Israeli President Shimon Peres. In particular, Madonna sees herself as an ambassador for Kabbalah, a mystical school of Jewish thought. Never mind that Madonna isn't Jewish. Never mind that Jewish thought itself prohibits the study of Kabbalah unless one becomes expert in all other areas of Jewish law, practices all 613 of the Jewish commandments. Madonna has broken at least eight, so she confesses to have broken eight of the Ten Commandments. Never mind that Madonna's brand of Kabbalah is a concoction of fallacious philosophy and creepy voodoo. Kabbalah is the new Scientology in Hollywood. Hollywood's fascination with Kabbalah springs from a lust for spiritual reward without spiritual work. The glitterati love any religion that allows them to sleep at night without restricting whom they sleep with. Quite a large number of Hollywood stars, apparently, have flirted with Kabbalah. As Ben Shapiro points out, it's a pain-free alternative to genuine spirituality. It's always easier to keep some religious rules than to maintain a relationship with Jesus. Because Jesus expects us to obey him all the time. The Colossians, in verse 16, were tempted to observe food laws from Judaism and religious festivals, Sabbaths, and so on. And some people were judging others, for example, on how well they kept the Sabbath. I've seen contemporary versions of this. When I was an Anglican curate, people got very worked up about whether or not the rules of the Eucharist were kept. So on one occasion, I poured wine rather than water into a chalice. And therefore, I had to drink the whole chalice of wine, because that was the rule. It couldn't be poured back. Now you try concentrating on the end of the service when you've done that. It's much easier to get worked up about religion than it is actually to obey King Jesus. I've known evangelicals who are very worked up about what you can and can't do on the Sabbath. They want to establish the rules. Paul says, do not let anyone judge you by your rule keeping. Jesus was most severe with legalism, rule keeping. So I really pray we won't go down that route. Because Judaism won't make you full. And no other system of rule keeping can make you full. Judaism, verse 17, is a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. The worship of the Old Testament, festivals, sacrifices, and so on, are all a picture of Jesus. I'm going to shock you now. I don't like Christmas. I'm sorry, I don't. Now, I don't need a special day to remember the birth of Jesus. I have a daily relationship with Jesus. Same with Easter. The cross is part of my daily reality. The hope of resurrection keeps me going. Now, don't worry, I'm willing to go along with most of the rest of Christendom and celebrate Christmas and Easter because they are a great opportunity for the gospel. But I don't need a festival to worship Jesus. That's why the Church of England went wrong when it reincorporated festivals, saints' days, into its calendar. We don't need religious festivals. We need a relationship with Jesus. Number two, super spirituality won't make you full. Verses 18, 22, and 23. Being super spiritual means you're always more spiritual than everyone else. For example, verse 18, false humility. I cannot stand false humility. People who wring their hands and go on about how awful they are and how terribly humble they are, when all the time they're rather showing off. Just be straightforward. Yes, I'm good at this. No, I'm not very good at that. No big deal. We've all got different gifts. We thank God for our gifts. We exercise our gifts. We don't get proud about it. All our gifts come from God. We didn't do anything to earn them. We were given them. So we don't need to be falsely humble. Verse 18, this super spirituality can take the form of the worship of angels. And this could be worshipping angels in the place of God. which is idolatry. Maybe this was the problem. Certainly, there's plenty of idolatry in our day. Or, and I favour this view, it could be describing a wrong fascination with angels. In other words, being concerned with the worship angels offer God. Now, it's a good thing to join our praises with the worship of heaven. Angels in the height adore him. Ye behold him face to face. Many of us have sung that and enjoyed it. The problem with the Colossians was they weren't content, say, with the worship of Christchurch Baldock. It had to be angelic worship. You see, they were being super spiritual. Oh, you go to Christchurch, do you? Yeah, I used to go there. Now I worship with the angels. Obviously, complete and utter nonsense. It's just an attempt to be super spiritual. And such people might, verse 18, disqualify you for the prize. Do you see that? If you become obsessed with, am I as spiritual as him? You lose the prize. The prize is a relationship with Jesus. The prize is heaven. If I start competing to be super spiritual, that's my prize. My prize is I look super spiritual. I've made this mistake many times. I've sought the earthly prize of looking good. That's why I used to wear a suit to church when I was 15. I knew I could look spiritual. Big black Bible. But what about the heart? And then, this super spiritual person, verse 18b, goes into great detail about what he has seen. In other words, he's seen a vision. Now, there's nothing wrong with vision. The Bible says, without vision, the people perish. And young men will see visions. Old men will dream dreams. The Bible doesn't contradict itself. Paul is not arguing with Peter or the prophet Joel. The point is, be suspicious if someone wants to show off about their vision. I think that's the problem, describing it in detail and subjectively deciding it's authoritative. Do you see? I've had a vision, therefore God has spoken to me, therefore I know God's will. In isolation from the fellowship of the church, the discernment of the leadership. That's the problem. I met an Iranian man who was converted through a vision. He told me about it, but he didn't show off. He didn't describe every detail. The danger, you see, is his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. Look at that. He thinks he's super spiritual. Paul says he has an unspiritual mind. His mind is not full of Jesus. His mind is full of himself and idle notions, pointless ideas that don't get you anywhere. Verse 22, all religion based on human commands is destined to perish. I don't want anything to do with it. Verse 23, such regulations have an appearance of wisdom. That's the problem with the super spiritual and the religious. The person who points out that the emperor has no clothes on, that there's nothing there spiritually, may look unwise. I know that experience well. To go against the consensus religious view looks very unwise. But only biblical thought is wise. Verse 22, it's self-imposed worship. Well, we don't need that. Jesus said, true worshippers worship in spirit and in truth. In other words, true worship is the heart response of the spiritually alive to Jesus. True worship is the heart response of the spiritually alive to Jesus. We are born of the Spirit. So, when we commune with Him, that is worship in the Spirit. And spiritual worship will always be based on truth. I have good friends who are Quakers. I think the Quaker movement probably began as a work of God. But now, Quaker worship involves sitting in silence, waiting for revelation, which I fear amounts to people's own ideas. The worship of Jesus focuses on the revelation we've been given, the Bible. We worship in spirit, that's what we do, as spiritually alive people. We can't worship in any other way. If we're right with Jesus, we worship in spirit, and we worship in truth, edifying one another with the Bible. So let's not be super spiritual. Let's not, verse 23, treat our bodies harshly. The religious always want to do that. I've fasted for 3 days, says one man. Well, says Jesus, you've had your reward. You got what you wanted. People thought you were spiritual. There are loads of other ways people treat their bodies harshly. Staying up all night to pray. Well, I suppose that could be a good thing to do, but really, why not sleep? Your body needs sleep. Oh, I'm far too spiritual to take a day off. But your body needs a rest. God's not impressed when we treat our bodies harshly. And then verse 23, these super spiritual people cannot restrain sensual indulgence. I've seen that many times. I had one friend who went to my youth group when I was a teenager, got apparently converted, got ordained, and ended up arrested for looking at indecent photographs of children on his computer. He was highly religious, ritualistic, but religion couldn't solve his problem. Judaism won't make you full. Being super spiritual won't make you full. And number 3, demonic rules won't make you full. Verses 20 and 21. Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, that means the demonic rules which control the world. When you became a Christian, you stopped being a follower of Satan. You gave up a life controlled by demonic powers. You didn't realize you were following demonic powers, but you were. Now, you are following Christ. He is your king. So, why, as though you still belonged to it, do you submit to its rules? If Jesus is your king, you cannot, in good conscience, submit to the demonic rules of the world. You know, there are certain rules or principles which all opponents of Jesus keep to varying degrees. Fortunately, not many people are selfish enough to murder. But we're all selfish. Selfishness is a demonic principle of life. The same is true of all that is evil, all that is not Christ-like. And to go back to the demonic ways of the world when you've known Christ is madness. Now these rules, they can be licentious, giving you permission to do things, or they can be very legalistic. Look at verse 21. Do not handle. Do not taste. Do not touch. These demonic principles taught by these false teachers are legalistic. You mustn't do that. It's against the rules. How do we negotiate between being licentious, overly liberal, and just being bound by rules? How do we handle this? Well, just ask the question, is it something Jesus would do? That's the only question you need to ask. As you get to know Jesus in his word, you'll know the answer to that question more often than not. If you're not sure, ring up a Christian friend, your home group leader, someone you respect. Is it something Jesus would do? If not, it belongs to the basic principles, the demonic principles of the world. Don't do it. Judaism won't make you full. Being super spiritual won't make you full. Demonic rules won't make you full. Number four, Jesus makes you full. Verse 19. Go back to my overeating. I am full, but I don't always remember I'm full. So I stuff myself on the wrong things. The Colossians were full. Look at verse 10. You have been given fullness in Christ. Now, here's the key. Tomorrow morning, in the week, when you're tempted, remember how full you are. See, Christian person, are you dissatisfied? Are you looking for something more spiritual? Remember, you are full. You are full of God, full of the Holy Spirit. The problem maybe is verse 19. He has lost connection with the head. Chickens can run round without their heads, but not for very long. And that is only a nervous reaction. If you chopped my head off, I wouldn't be able to do much. And the problem is that if you are dissatisfied as a Christian, you have probably got disconnected from Jesus, the head of the body. And the cause of this is that you have given a place to sin in your life. Maybe anger, resentment, bitterness, disobedience. I don't need to tell you. You'll know what the problem is. And now, you have two choices. Reconnect with Jesus, or fall away as a Christian. Look at verse 19. When the body is connected to the head, it functions. It grows. We must stay connected to Jesus as a church. If we get disconnected from Jesus and led astray, into false religion, we will die. Why are so many churches dying in this country? The answer is obvious, isn't it? And the same is true of us as individuals. If I'm disconnected from Jesus, I will not feel full. And I might start to look elsewhere for spiritual satisfaction. Well, if you can relate to this, allow me to help you. What must you do? Number one, repent. Say sorry to Jesus. You've disobeyed him. You've got disconnected from him. Cut that sin out of your life. Number two, believe. Believe he is your Savior. His death is sufficient to pay for all your sin. Never look anywhere else for salvation. Believe he is your Savior. Believe he is your King. And live like it. Obey him. Live to please him. Get into his word. Get into prayer. Get into church life. Come and see me if you need help. You're most welcome. So that's it in a nutshell. Judaism won't make you full. Super spirituality won't make you full. Demonic rules won't make you full. Jesus makes you full. So stick with Jesus. Don't be led astray. You don't need anything else. Father, we confess that we've all looked elsewhere for forgiveness, for meaning, for purpose, for satisfaction. Sometimes we've done it in cake. Sometimes we've done it in much more serious and damaging things. And Lord, we want to repent of all of that. And we want to put our trust exclusively in Jesus. Lord, we want the fullness which is found in him alone. So, Lord, grant us all to trust in Jesus and to submit to Jesus and to grow in our relationship with Jesus for his name's sake. Amen.